It's the Tuesday after Labor Day. It's my least favorite day of the year. I love summer. I just don't like today. It was always the worst day in the office. But these days, I work from home, so it's not terrible. Hi, I'm Johnny Mack with your daily comedy news. This from LAD Bible. Doug Stanhope shared his savage response to the BBC after BBC staff asked for free tickets to one of his gigs. Stanhope went on Facebook. He shared the letter he got, which was, "Dear Sir/Madam," and then joked, "I didn't even see that until now. I'm emailing from the BBC One show. Have I got news for you? We wondered whether it was possible to get some complimentary tickets to see Doug Stanhope in Leicester Square with a view on getting his availability for the upcoming series. Is it possible to ask for 6 tickets, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday?" Stanhope kept reading the email. "Kind regards, associate producer," which means he gets you Coke. So Stanhope's response, "No, you get crap. You have an effing TV show. It makes me sick when effing media has to panhandle for tickets. My fan base, I know you're effing small and you're ugly, you're obscene and you scare me, but you're broke as F. If there's one thing I understand about my audience, you're broke as F in general. This is evidently a really big popular TV show and you have to go begging for tickets. No, you effing pay, you pay. I'll give you my availability, save you the trip. I'm not available. I don't want to do this show, these effing people. You don't just zip off an effing email." Stanhope was on fire. Separate from the BBC story, he told an anecdote about when he was in a bar in New Jersey, and he said, "They put me up in a new place, which always sucks, because when you drink at the hotel bar, you have to drink with a-holes." One of which, in this particular story, was a, quote, "usual suit guy who was bragging to his friend about taking someone on a night out whose brother died in Afghanistan. The story followed the man at the bar boasting about getting box seats to see the Mets and being treated like kings." Stanhope said, "And that's the effing horror of war. When you die in a war, someone's going to parlay your tickets into box seats at the big game. That's what guys like this do." So he circled back to the BBC guy. "And that's what guys like this do. Oh, Stanhope, we don't have to pay. I'm an associate producer for Have I Got News For You. Have I Got News For You? Suck my..." Yeah. Tom Segura was on the Good One podcast. They said to Segura, "I want to talk to you about your experience of whiteness. Your mother is Peruvian, but you always call yourself white. You've moved a lot, but spent summers in Peru. Do you feel like you have an outsider's perspective on whiteness?" Segura said, "I actually get to experience the world through two lenses. People who know me know I have this Latin side. They always introduce me as Spanish. This is Tom, he's Spanish. Some of them see that as a huge benefit, but why? They say you have this diversity that no one else can see, but we know it inside, which I understand. I get it. I've been able to navigate the world in the easiest way, like a white male, super easy, but it's funny because we used to have to tell my mother, 'You're not white.' And she'd say, 'What are you talking about?' And she'd probably put down Hispanic or whatever. But when she goes to Peru, she's considered white. Here, she's not. She has an olive complexion to her and an accent. My father was super white, a white American guy. I've seen people treat my mother differently from him. These are things you never think about. It doesn't register to you until you're actually witnessing it. It's very sobering in the moment, snaps you right out of it. I get that I'm white. People will say, 'You present white.' Wow. And I totally get that. I also feel like there's a different group of white guys that are white guys. And yeah, I'm not one of them. Those dudes are a separate class from me. I have too much flavor in my background to be like that. When I went to college, the white Southern dudes were pledging fraternities. That's like the highest form of white kid. I remember thinking, I'm not in that category." Now, they asked him, "A couple years ago, it was announced you were going to do a bilingual special. Are you still going to do that?" Segura said, "I don't think so. I got the offer to do it and we had set up a tour. When I do an English special, I have to run that hour effing 150, 200 times. That's what it deserves. And I wanted to run this thing in Spanish, if I can, at least 50 times, right? The tour was all set to go starting in February of 2020. That sounds like a familiar time in world history. I was able to do a couple shows in March and April at places that stayed open during the pandemic, but as things progressed, most of the tour couldn't happen. I was really excited about it at the time. I was missing how close I used to be with my mother's side of the family, my Latin family. I would spend so much time there as a kid, and then my cousins would spend so much time in the States. They'd come to school with us, would go with them. That part of my life was really important. I got excited about it being united. I started doing the podcast in Spanish. I started doing the shows in Spanish. I'm hanging out with Latin people all the time, going on the road with them, and it was very fun. It was really exciting to have that back, to feel close to that side of my roots, but you can't predict a global pandemic. I hope I get to do it at some point." Speaking of specials, Sheng Wang has a special out on Netflix today. Just for Laughs Toronto is coming up. They've announced some of the lineup. Let me skim through this really quickly in the order they have it, which is not chronological order, so you might want to take notes. Trevor Noah on the 30th, John Mulaney on the 22nd, Amy Schumer on the 23rd. Some other people up there, Eliza Schlesinger, Ben Schwartz, Mike Birbiglia, Tim Dillon, Dion Cole, and the alternative show. So we're a couple weeks out from that, but looking forward to covering that. I was thinking about going up. I don't think I will, but I might. Another special, Joe Coy, live at the LA Forum, will be out 1 week from today, Netflix, September 13th. Joe Coy live at the LA Forum. Joe Coy talks about public sneezing, perseverance, the indignities of sleep apnea, and getting lost in the Philippines. Netflix, September 13th. From Golf Digest, your home for comedy news, Nate Bargatze tells jokes for a living, but it's hard to imagine someone being more serious about golf. Okay. Bargatze recalls texting with his friend and former world number one, Jason Day. Jason Day told me to club up, and I told him I'm playing in the Tennessee Mid-Am. Is this illegal? He goes, I mean, it's wildly illegal. He's like, you can't text professional golfers during a mid-amateur, but it was COVID, so I called him my virtual caddy. Bargatze started playing in his 20s. He describes his 30s as a hard run to get to a single-digit handicap. Nowadays, he plays to about a 4. He's got a set of golf clubs that he keeps on the bus because you never know what's going to pop up. I'm ready no matter what, and I'm not afraid to rent some clubs either. He plays with several comedians on the road, but he prefers teeing up with better players like David Spade, Joe Zimmerman, and Ray Romano. Apparently, Romano is a stickler for the rules. Bargatze has realized he can't play too much on days he's performing. You don't want to be tired in the last 5 holes you check out anyway because you're thinking about the show. I've had to learn to back it off just because I would like to be a professional comedian. I should show some attention to the comedy side of my life, but I still get in the golf. Every special on Netflix, I've had a golf joke, and I've got one for the next special. It's just a nod that I play, so people might ask me to come places. Hey, that guy's a big golfer, so it doesn't hurt me to throw in a golf joke in, just as a reminder. A guy was playing in my charity golf tournament, and I was riding around talking to him, and he was like, what's up, man? How's comedy going? Are you still doing it? Bargatze said, the tournament's named after me. No, I just quit, and they named it after me out of pity. Not everyone really knows what you're doing, so you get knocked down to reality quite a bit. And from the North Ants Telegraph, which would be your home for comedy news, but I already used that joke this episode, James Acaster, the comedian, met James Acaster, the goat. And I don't mean the greatest of all time, I mean a goat's goat. Wicksteed Park paid tribute to comedian James Acaster by naming a 6-month-old Anglo-Nubian goat James Acaster. Comedian James Acaster visited the park and was invited to select the goat. Having found one, the comedian James Acaster felt suitably reflected his demeanor. The name was officially applied at a low-key ceremony in early August. Acaster said, growing up in Kettering all the way through working at Wicksteed Park and later becoming a comedian, I always knew one thing. I wanted someone to name a goat after me. Thank you for this gift. That's your comedy news for today. All right, I just recorded 4 episodes in a row. My iced coffee is running out. Why don't you buy me a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews. You can throw $5 in the tip jar. I'll take your money. I'll go to the National Donuts chain. They'll be putting pumpkin in front of my face. This year, I'm not into the pumpkin. I'm just sticking with my caramel, with my large ice caramel and almond milk. I need the almond milk because the regular milk, then I can't breathe when I go on my runs. It's a whole thing. buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews. See you tomorrow.